Let's pray before we look into God's Word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your Word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts in this story that we're going to look at together. And Father, often when I look into your Word, I feel inadequate to express the truths that are there, the amazing truths that we find that speak to our lives today. And so I pray that your Spirit would reveal the truth that we need to know from this story. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at encounters with Jesus, and today we're going to look at the encounter of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you'll find that in John chapter 11. This is a fairly lengthy passage, and I want to be able to read most of it here if we could. So we're going to dive right into reading the passage here, John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. So if you would turn with me, I didn't put the text up this morning because this is such a lengthy passage. I trust you can follow along in your Bible as I read. John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Real encouraging guy there. On this arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And I'm going to stop there for right now. There's a lot to absorb in this story, and a lot that I would love to talk about. But we don't have enough time to cover everything. So I want to focus in on a few points. It's such a deep and rich story and touches on a lot of different areas. But the first simple point that I want us to understand is that Jesus loves. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. If you look back in the verses that we read, verse 3, when they send this messenger, they say, "The one you love is sick." And then in verse 5, it's reiterated there, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in verse 11, he is referring to Lazarus as his friend. A close friend. And when I think of that, it makes me think of that song we used to sing years ago, "Jesus is a friend, he's a friend next to you." Anybody know that song? A few of you know that. And in thinking about that song, sometimes it strikes me a little bit trite, like, you know, well, he's, you know, Jesus is my buddy. A little maybe disrespectful. But here we have it that Jesus refers to Lazarus as his friend. So we see that Jesus loved them. He was a close friend to them. And I'm wondering, can you imagine being a friend with Jesus? Like, you know, he lives in London, and you guys get together and hang out, do things together, whatever you do. Can you think about what that would be like to have Jesus there in physical presence be your friend, and what that would feel like, the Son of God, a friend. But that's how he's referred to here, as a friend of Lazarus, a deep friend with these three individuals. And you definitely get the sense that there's not a disrespect in that relationship, because even though that friendship exists, they refer to Jesus as Lord, as teacher. They understand who he is, and they don't disrespect him in that friendship. But there is that friendship there. And it's evident that he loved them very much. And which brings me finally to one other reference where we see this, I believe, and that is in verse 35. The shortest verse in the Bible, and probably those of you who were in Sunday school and had to memorize verses and do that popcorn thing to see how long you could stay alive, you memorized this verse, didn't you? And that's one that you used. Jesus wept, an easy verse to memorize. And I did when I was a kid. But I don't know that I really understood what that was about, that Jesus wept. And there's a lot of opinions about his strong emotion here. If you read commentaries, you'll see a variety of opinions about what Jesus was feeling, why he wept, why he had such strong emotion during this time. But I believe that part of it was the fact that he really felt for Mary. He saw what she was going through with the loss of her brother. He saw the pain that she was experiencing, the weeping, and her friends around her. And it touched his heart. It touched him to see this happening. Even though he knew what was going to happen. He knew the plan. He knew that the plan was the right way to go. But he also saw the pain of his friends, the separation that they were experiencing, the two sisters from their brother. And so I believe that's part of the reason why he wept. It's another indication to me of his love for them, his great love for them. He empathized with them and in some ways mourned with them. And the question that begs to be asked in this story is, if you go back to the beginning, back to, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Doesn't that seem curious to you? That he loved them. There's no question that he loved them. They're very dear to his heart. But here he is. They come to him, I'm sure expecting him to come. And he stays 2 more days. Anybody identify with the feelings that maybe Mary and Martha were going through? Why the delay? And you see the anguish as they ask him, "Lord, if you would have been here, Lazarus would be alive today. If you would have been here." I think many of us have experienced that kind of lack of understanding of why the delay. And maybe in your case, where you've been in situations where you've prayed and you've asked God for something, and for whatever reason it's not happening, and you ask, why the delay? It makes me think of... Many of you know of Carissa Yoder, who is in the hospital right now, and who was in an accident, serious accident last weekend. And some of those questions go through my mind. Lord, I know you can heal. I know you love them. Why the delay? There are things that go on that we don't understand. And it reminds me when we looked at the book of Job and his life. There's a whole part that we don't understand what is going on. Why the delay? We've asked that question. Lord, if you would have been here, this event wouldn't have happened. And so that question comes out. We need to deal with that question. Why the delay? It's clear that he loved them. And if you look at the another part of this question comes out when the people, at the end of the passage here that we read, verse 37. They say, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And we know that Jesus could have. We've read about his miracles, we've seen him do awesome things, and we know that he wouldn't have even had to be there to heal Lazarus. He wouldn't even have to be physically. He healed people from a distance. And so there's not a question either if he's capable or not. He's healed others. But why didn't he heal Lazarus in this case? The sisters were struggling with this question. But yet, as they struggle, you also see their faith and their trust in Jesus. Because Martha says, "Even now I know that whatever you ask will be accomplished." She expresses her faith in him, even when she doesn't understand. And so it brings me to the second point that I think is important when we look at this story, and that is that Jesus submits to the Father's plan. And maybe you think this is obvious, but to me it's a very important thing to think about. Jesus is obedient to the Father. He's following the Father's plan. And he's standing in front of Mary, and he sees the pain that this situation has caused her. And he knows that he could have prevented it right from the beginning. He could have stepped in and prevented it. But no, he knew there was a larger plan that was being worked out. And he was following that plan. Lazarus' illness had an important purpose in the Father's plan, and Jesus was committed to carrying that plan out. Often we do not understand the plan or the purpose, the things that are happening around us. And we also have to trust that the Father knows what He's doing, that He is sovereign, that He is in control, that He loves us, that He cares about us, He knows exactly what He's doing. And that's a challenging thing to do sometimes. It's a walk of faith to trust that the Father knows what He's doing. Mary and Martha didn't understand it. Lord, if You had been here, our brother would not have died. They didn't get it. The disciples didn't understand it. If you go back and look, they said, why are we going back to the area of Judea around Jerusalem? They tried to stone You last time we were there. Why go back? They didn't know. And besides, Lazarus is dead. What's the point of going back now? But we see another point that we learned earlier in some of these stories, that Jesus wanted them to grow in their faith. That was part of the plan. He wanted them to grow in their understanding, their faith in trusting Him, that He knew what He was doing, that the Father knew what He was doing. Jesus was in tune with the Father and accepted His plan. And Jesus makes it clear that regardless of how things look, regardless of how they look, that the best place that we want to be is walking with the Father. It's the safest place for us. Following the Father's plan is like walking in the light. And where else would we want to be? And if we walk in the light, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen, regardless of what it looks like. If we're walking with the Father, we don't have to worry about what the things around us look like. A key point to understand in this story. But the disciples didn't really get that either. Jesus could have healed Lazarus, and it would have been a good thing, but He did not do a good thing so that He could accomplish an even greater thing. Let's finish reading verse 39 through 44. Take away the stone, He said. But Lord, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for He has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that You sent Me. When He said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Can you imagine being a witness to this story? I think sometimes we just kind of take it as a calm, okay, Jesus did another miracle. But to be at a grave and see a man walk out of the grave, and he's all wrapped up in these strips of linen. And the point I want to make here is that Jesus conquers death. It's a huge point in this passage. And I'll look at several pictures that Doris found of artists depicting what this may have looked like. I don't know how you would draw the picture, but there's some interesting looks here of what this may have looked like. Here's a couple more. This is the one from the beginning. I like this one in particular. I don't know why, but it's just, to me, it gives an awe of what is happening in this situation. So there you have several kind of ideas. A pastor friend of mine told me that he actually wrapped a guy up in the front here and had him laying down here during the whole service. And then when Jesus made that pronouncement, he had him hop up and got people's attention. But can you imagine being there in this situation and watching this unravel in front of you, this miraculous event? Hey, I didn't even catch that. Yeah, they did have to unravel him. I didn't mean to say that, but... But anyways, you get this story, this is a great hope. Yeah, there's this terrible mourning and happening, and all of a sudden you have this marvelous miracle and this tremendous hope that I'm sure everybody had to see somebody raised from the dead. Do you think about the things, the difficulties we experience in life? Death is one of those ones that is maybe trumps them all. That we feel helpless, we can't do anything about. And suddenly, here is someone. Here is someone who can do something about death. Think about that. Somebody who can turn it back and restore life. And what does Jesus say to Martha earlier on? What does that say? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Never die. He's saying that death is something that we don't have to fear. For those who believe in him, they will never die. That death has been conquered by Jesus. For some reason, this made me think of I don't know if it was a silly story or... It was a movie that we watched this week. It's about a dog. This dog is, I think, called Kachi, maybe? It's a dog who was owned by a guy out in Japan back in the early 1900s. And this professor would go to the train station every day to leave to go teach, and he would come back, and this dog got to be very close to him. And the dog would go with him to the train station and then go back home, and then the dog knew at the time of day, or maybe it was the train whistle, I don't know, but he would come back at the exact time when that train was coming back and wait for his master to come through those doors, and then he would go home with him. It's a true story, and one day the master did not return. In the middle of class, he had... some kind of health issue, and died in class. And the dog waited and waited, and the master did not return. And for 9 years, that dog returned to that spot, waiting for his master to come back. And it was kind of, I like animals, but it kind of tugged at my heart to think, if somebody could just tell that dog, you know? And they tried. You know, there's guys that tried to talk to the dog. I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. But it was a devoted dog, but it was also just a very sad thing to look at and see. This dog waiting for his master who would never return. And I thought of that story when I was thinking of what happened here and thinking, no, this is the hope that we have as believers, that death does not conquer. That we can conquer death through Jesus Christ. And what an amazing thought for each of us. For each of us who believe that we will never die. Well, in conclusion, I want you to think about a few things for you. First of all, I want you to think of the fact that Jesus loves you. And just like he had an intimate relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he desires an intimate relationship with you. And some of you have that intimate relationship with him. Others of you may be wondering what that's about. But Jesus walked this earth. He knows and understands the trials and the struggles that you and I go through. He is not standing apart from us and saying, good luck with that. But he knows what we experience. He experienced it. He saw it happen to his friends. He knows the pain that you and I experience, and he empathizes with us, and he walks with us through that pain. He is there with us all the time. His love for you is strong, and we should never doubt that love, even when the circumstances around us we do not understand. We cannot doubt the love that Jesus has for us. Secondly, I encourage you to trust the Father's plan. Would you trust his plan? Choose to walk in the light, even when the path seems to take you through places that are beyond your comprehension that you can't explain for others or for yourself. And realize that God is sovereign, that he knows what he's doing, that he loves you, he cares about you, and that he's working out what is best for you. Trust in the Father's plan, that it's a good plan. And realize that we can't see everything that is happening. We don't know what the end story is going to be, what it's going to look like, but God knows. And the last point that we just touched on, realize that death has been conquered. That for a believer, death is not the end. Yes, we are sad to be separated from people that we love, but we know that someday we'll be reunited with them if they are believers as well. Death is not the end. Jesus conquered death. And if the ironic thing, if we look at this story and what Jesus did in raising Lazarus to life, if you read further, you'll notice that the religious leaders at this point said, we need to kill him. This was the event that spurred them to say, at this point on, we're looking for a way to kill him. So this very event of Jesus bringing life to Lazarus was a turning point in him going to the cross. Ironically, we see that. And that's where Jesus finally, and for all, conquered death for us. So death has been completely defeated, and just like Lazarus, we will rise when he calls our name. No more sorrow, no more pain. We'll rise on eagle's wings before our God, fall on our knees, and rise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your plan. We thank you that we can trust it. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we can trust that love, that you do not turn away from us, that you do not leave us to fend for ourselves, that you walk with us. We thank you that even somehow, some way, that we can be friends, be called friend of the God of the universe. It's hard to understand how that can be. And we thank you for that intimate relationship that you desire with us and that we can have with you. And Lord, most of all, we thank you that we do not need to fear death. That we can be confident that through what Jesus did on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, he conquered death, not just for himself, but for all of us who believe. And we give thanks for that this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.